Chapter 11. The start. Leaving Altover promptly at 8:30 a.m., fortified with a good breakfast and suitably clothed, the trail party in a few minutes reaches the head of Bright Angel Trail near Bright Angel Camp. For 3/4 of a mile this trail descends, zigzagging back and forth until the top of the cross-bedded sandstone is reached. Faulting in the sandstones. Here the visitor should not fail to observe the faulting in the sandstone, there being a difference in the two sides of about 200 feet. Without this fault there would have been no trail, for to the lifting up, or dropping down of the strata, is due their shattered condition, which alone makes trail building possible. When about a mile down, the separation line between the cross-bedded sandstone and the upper red sandstone is clearly revealed to the left of the trail. By this time all timidity has vanished, and you implicitly trust both mule and trail, even when going around that narrow ledge known as Cape Horn. Now, immediately before us, the majestic pile known as the battleship presents itself with new power. The ship itself is composed of the red sandstone. The base upon which it rests is the red wall limestone. A few feet further, and the cross-bedded sandstone may be seen far below on the right, out of plumb with the same mass on the left, to which it belongs, clearly showing that some convulsion of nature has either thrust the mass on the left up, or forced the mass on the right down. From this spot a fine view is had of the red wall limestone below and the Indian garden, and, far below, at the end of Pipe Creek, the peculiar folding of the Algonquian strata. This folding is also to be seen on the other side of the river in the same rocks. Trees, flowers, and birds. While descending the first mile of trail, one sees plenty of flowers and shrubs, and many Douglas spruces. These do not exist on the rim, and, strange to say, the pines which abound there are never found on the trail. One will generally hear the sweet descending pipe of the canyon wren, and the harsh scolding of the blue-winged pinion jay. Hawks, owls, mockingbirds and robins are often seen. Butterflies, moths, and hummingbirds wing their way to and fro, and give a delicate touch of life to the stern rocky features. Time was when the visitor at Altover who went down the trail to the river might have seen mountain sheep, bear, deer, antelopes and coyotes. Jacob's Ladder. When the blue lime, the top of the red wall limestone, is reached, one may study a fine piece of real canyon trail making, locally called Jacob's Ladder. Here steps have been cut in the slippery and solid rocks, in some places built up with timbers, and thus made perfectly safe. It is customary for everybody to dismount here, so as to lighten the load. The well-trained saddle mules of Altover Stables go up and down this part of the trail without hesitation. Red Wall Limestone. Standing on the summit of the Red Wall Limestone, we are again forcefully reminded that it is the most prominent member of the Grand Canyon strata. Its insistent mass is 1,000 feet in thickness. The face of this wall, close before us, is carved into numerous alcoves, and as we near its base, we observe to the right a vast double-cornered recess known as Angel Alcove. From here it is interesting to look up to the rim, and observe the peculiar and varied contour of the many pinnacles cut by wind and storm out of the cherty limestone. Buddha and Manu Temples. From this point, also, the first good view, from below the rim, of Buddha Temple 7,218 feet, is obtained. It is to the left of Bright Angel Creek. Now look carefully at the ridge that leads the eye from Buddha Temple to Bright Angel Creek. It appears to be a portion of the main wall of the Kaibab Plateau. In reality it is 3 miles from the Kaibab Wall, and, under suitable conditions, may be seen as a massive temple, which has been named Manu Temple 7,192 feet, after the great lawgiver of the Hindus. Indian Garden and Cheops Pyramid. At the base of the Red Wall Limestone, the trail opens up a little, and permits easier breathing by the tyro on horseback. From now on to Indian Garden, 3,876 feet, we ride in a boulder bed, where large blocks of rock of every conceivable shape lie as they fell from the strata above. Small shrubs and plants abound, and tiny lizards and inquisitive swifts dart to and fro. Nearer to us is Cheops Pyramid, 5,350 feet, a massive monument, though less ornately carved than Buddha, Isis and Shiva temples. Above it and farther to the left is Isis Temple, 7,028 feet, the cap of which, at this angle, presents the appearance of two acorn-like structures resting upon their cups, the taller of which is carved out of the cross-bedded sandstone. It is the eastern supporter of Shiva Temple, 7,650 feet, of which Captain Dutton, who named it, wrote eloquently and vividly. Brahma and Zoroaster Temples. Now turn the eye away from Shiva, across to the east of Bright Angel Creek. There, outlined against the sky, are two noble profiled buttes. The rear one is Brahma Temple, 7,554 feet, named after the first of the Hindu triad, the Supreme Creator. The smaller butte, an angular mass of solid, unrelieved rock, sloping in a peculiarly oblique fashion, is Zoroaster Temple, 7,130 feet, thus adding to the Hindu pantheon a fane for the founder of the religion of the Irano-Persians. Deva Temple, Obi, and Como Points. Behind Brahma can be seen, when at the right angle, a flat-topped detached mass, 7,344 feet, named Deva Temple. Behind and above it are two points, Obi 8,000 feet, to the right, and Como, about the same height, to the left. These are the salient points on Walhalla Plateau, overlooking the Ottoman amphitheater, the chief temples of which I have already named. Indian Garden. Passing now through the fertile Indian Garden, Angel Plateau is reached. The spring at Indian Garden is large enough to irrigate a small tract of ground. Experience has demonstrated that not only can vegetables of every kind be grown here, but all kinds of fruits, even oranges, lemons, and grapefruit. For 2 miles, after leaving the garden, we ride over a fairly level plateau to its edge, where it overlooks the granite gorge. Here, standing on the Tonto sandstone, 3,708 feet, we look down into the dark recesses of the inner gorge, and picture the events described by Major Powell, when he and his brave band of intrepid explorers passed through O'Neill Butte. Now looking back to the rim at Yakai Point, we see beneath it, and corresponding to the battleship, an imposing structure. It has been named O'Neill Butte, in honor of Uki O'Neill, one of Roosevelt's Rough Riders, who was slain during the heroic charge at San Juan Hill. He it was who interested Eastern capitalists in the Anita Mine, and was therefore indirectly responsible for the building of the Grand Canyon Railway. Pipe Creek. Those who wish to go to the river now retrace a portion of the way to the Indian Garden, and then turn off eastward by the old-time Indian corn storage houses. Here one obtains a fine view of the wild chaos of metamorphosed rocks of Pipe Creek. It is a veritable Pluto's workshop, where the rocks are twisted, burned, and tortured out of all semblance to their original condition. They are made into cruel and black jagged ridges, which seem eager to tear and rend you. Falls of Willow Creek. In these forbidding rocks the Devil's Corkscrew Trail has been cut, winding and twisting down, down, 1,200 feet, passing by a split in the rocks, where the waters of Willow Creek make a waterfall of over 200 feet. The Colorado River. At last the Colorado River is reached, and we are but 2,436 feet above the sea. El Tovar, above, is 6,866 feet, and we have thus descended 4,430 feet, nearly a mile, from rim to river. And what a river it is! No one can form any idea of it, unless he stands on the very brink, almost deafened by the sound of its sullen roar and turbulent rapids. It is hungry, insatiable, murderous, cruel. Many a foolish mortal was at the breath dashed from his body by these powerful waves. Those who wish to cross to the other side can defy danger in the cable crossing, but only a skilled boatman should attempt to row across. Colorado salmon. Fish are caught in the river here at times. The chief variety is a scale-bearing fish, of silvery appearance, commonly known to the local dwellers as Colorado salmon. Specimens have been caught 2 feet 8 inches in length, and 16 inches in circumference, and a fortunate fisherman brought one up to Eltover, which was nearly 3 feet in length. Camping at the river. It is a delightful experience to remain overnight and sleep on the river sand, especially if the moon be at its full. Then one sees great walking shadows moving, living, palpable entities. Towers and buttes and temples take on new qualities under the softer luminary of the night. Here too, one gets to know the canyon in a new phase. He is in the trough between 2 ranges of mountains. To the north, and to the south are towering peaks. You forget that you have ridden down, down, to reach this spot. You are in a new country. A majestic range of glorious peaks soars away above you to the north. Now, by merely turning in the other direction, you see another, and entirely different, range, with peaks, canyons, ravines, gorges, points, ridges all its own. The return to Eltover. Riding back to Eltover, with thoughts like these, the visitor imagines himself riding to a city celestial. He reaches the plateau, studies for a while the unique coloring of the Algonquian strata just above the granite gorge, and sees where the faulting has raised them above the Tonto sandstones. Then, steadily looking upward, he rides forward, climbing slowly but surely to the peaks above. Tired though he is, he feels a constant thrill of satisfaction as he rises higher and higher, and when, at last, his animal lifts him to the level of Eltover, and he stands once more in his room at the hotel, he feels an exultation vouchsafed only to those who have dared, and done an unusual thing. And this the canyon is. No matter how often the trip is made, the interest of it never tires. The wonder of it never grows less. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.